Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So listeners, as you know, every time we do a show like this, we occasionally run into difficulties with Skype connections because Skype hates us. Or Microsoft hates me because I use a Mac. But whatever it is, Tim Schwartz is our special guest co-host, and we have Dave Mason. No relation to the Dave Mason who's the rock star, but another Dave Mason, and David Altman. They are responsible for a new documentary called A Tear in the Sky. And we're going to rip through that a little bit later in the show. But first, I wanted to talk about an event that occurred on Tuesday, which is May 17, in the halls of the U.S. Congress. The first congressional hearings on UFOs in decades and decades. And I don't know if either of you or you, Tim, heard the hearing or watched it on YouTube or something, but I want to get reactions if you're familiar with it. So let me start alphabetically. David Altman, did you see it?
Yes, I did. I actually tried going through it a few times. Every time I watched it, it just seemed I got a little bit angrier, so I kind of had to slow down. I mean, you know, it has high points, it had slow points. I didn't go into it really expecting disclosure, but at the end of it, I was surprised about a few things that they mentioned. Probably my biggest surprise was them bringing up the Wilson documents.
Would you tell our listeners, because not everybody follows the ins and outs and the nooks and crannies, what those documents are?
Far be it for me to be an expert on the documents, but these are some papers that were found in Edgar Mitchell's collection of documents after he passed away. I believe it was his kids that were, you know, going through them, through all of his papers, which were probably a gold mine for people like us. And in these documents were some notes that were allegedly done by Dr. Eric Davis. And they contain notes he had taken in different meetings, and I believe the big one was with Admiral Wilson. And in these documents, they talk about pretty much, reverse engineering and crafts and entities and a whole lot. There's actually going to be a book coming out soon by one of our compatriots from our film, Michael Hall. He's writing a book called, I think it's Core Secrets, which is a couple of words that were very strongly used in those documents, if that makes sense.
Dave Mason, what do you think about all of it?
I have not had a chance to review what was discussed on May 17th. I have seen some of the commentaries on it, so it sounds like much of it was used selective cases, where not the compelling cases, but the non-compelling cases. And then also exclusion of cases that were very important that were not even brought up or examined, almost as if they selected the data that was somewhat limiting so that they wouldn't have to be put on the spot to offer more disclosure. So you just select the cases that are not in the spotlight and then just debunk it if you can.
They didn't do a lot of debunking, but it reminds me of what Kevin Randall said about the new investigation. He called it Condon 2.0.
There you go.
Yeah, the exclusions, the Condon report that Stanton Friedman was not too fond of.
Exactly. And the thing is here, of course, is they were very careful and circumspect in denying ET connection. We don't have evidence. What kind of evidence would that mean? Well, bodies, crashed spaceships, physical evidence. Without physical evidence, they can't go there. At the same time, they didn't dispute it. They just said, we don't have evidence. And we can argue about things like Roswell, etc., but that gives them an out.
I think that what their fear is, if there were some cases where they needed to come forward on it, that if there was an admission to a cover-up or admission to this kind of information or data, then they know that there would be a lot of anger and even maybe some hostility toward them because of the cover-up. And so better to just deny everything to minimize any damage that might be incurred if they actually admitted to the truth.
Maybe some lawsuits as well.
Yeah.
Lawsuits, how so?
Well, I mean, think back to how many people, you know, have lost their jobs, have, you know, in the past been driven to points of depression and, you know, unhealthy mental problems. And if this is something that they knew and were doing to people, you know, even, I mean, I don't want to talk Benowitz because, you know, that's something else, but, you know, people won't be happy.
Well, Benowitz just sue Rick Doty and you'll be finished with it.
and maybe
Mr. Moore.
Possibly.
But of course, the problem with that is the statute of limitations would have long since expired.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how long that would hold. You know, I don't know what the statute is on something like that, if there is, if even is one.
If Doty murdered, we're not accusing him of anything, but if Doty murdered somebody, there'd be no statute of limitations.
Well, no, yeah, obviously, yeah. And, you know, I know Rick, and, you know, he's a friend of mine, and, you know, he's a friend, another, you know, I work in TV, and occasionally, I help him out with some stuff on that end. But I've never asked him about it, I've never brought it up. We talk about business, and that's that, you know.
You know Doty. What is your perception of all the things he claims?
Look, you know, like I said, I those claims and everything, I know mostly from, you know, books like Greg Bishop's Project Beta, you know, different lectures I've heard. You know, like I said, I've never asked him about that case or about anything with Dolce or anything that happened. I do occasionally ask him questions about ufology, but not about that. But I take everything I hear from Doty with a grain of salt. He's a very nice man, but I can't believe everything that he tells me. You know?
We had Doty on the PowerCast on the March 18th, 2018 episode. I don't even want to begin to summarize what he said. I just ask listeners, check it out, March 18th, 2018. It's on our site. It's in your podcast app, either if you're just a regular subscriber or listener or subscribe to the PowerCast Plus. So listen to it, make your own decisions. I have no decision. I think he likes to tell stories. And the thing is, you can't prove or disprove any of them.
You know, I'll say one thing. The man has a lot of guts because, you know, he doesn't have a lot of fans in ufology, but that does not make, you know, keep him away from doing interviews and interacting with people. I mean, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could be, you know, a person that is disliked that much and still kind of show my face. So it takes a lot of courage, in my opinion.
Dave Mason, what do you think?
I don't know much about him, so I really couldn't give you an intelligent answer. I'm more of a guy who develops technologies, and so I don't spend a lot of time researching a lot of the names in the field of ufology. I am familiar with you know, Stanton Friedman's work and maybe a few others, but so I'm somewhat of a novice when it comes to some of these other researchers and what they've done or haven't done.
You might be better off.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a disappointment because you follow something and then you find out that it was on a foundation of sand or it wasn't really you know, verified. And that's what I think is one of the problems in this field, is that there are a lot of individuals, what I'm finding, who are self-promoting with a narrative, and then that narrative gets copied and pasted in other forums, and then when somebody researches that narrative, they see that it's available on different websites. therefore it's been indoctrinated as factual.
David Altman, Dave Mason, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lowered blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue. The topic we'll be getting to in a moment is a tear in the sky. Dave Mason and David Altman are with us, two of the gentlemen who were responsible for the film. I'm going to talk about that more in a moment. We started out talking about ufology in general and also the recent attempt at congressional hearings in the halls of Congress, lasting a total of 90 minutes. I read about it. I didn't watch it. Maybe I should have, but it was probably as boring as the document from last year, if our listeners recall, where a preliminary report was released, probably written by one of the interns. I see a great reaction to that.
I wasn't sure who you were waiting for to answer.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But do you agree with me? It was a very poorly prepared document.
What I was going to point out, there is a video that was taken last year and publicized, and it was a night vision video of a triangle, which I knew the instant that I watched it that it was a defocused image intensifier type night vision with the field stops within the camera lens causing a triangular shape. And I replicated that using my own night vision and placing black tape in front of the lens, defocusing it, and looking at stars. And I made a private YouTube video just to, you know, reference the timestamp on it. But at the time when that was released, and the fact that it was released by the government, I thought that it was some form of muddying the waters, and so to speak, so that we would they would be able to publicize it, get people excited, and then say, ha ha, it was just nothing but, you know, a mistake, and it was nothing more than, you know, the defocused night vision. It could have been that, or it could have been somebody mistakenly took video, not having experience, had it defocused, turned it in the video because they were very intrigued by what they recorded. And before it could go through the vetting process of being debunked by its own internals, somebody took that copy and then facilitated it, not knowing that it was actually not gone through the proper chains to be debunked. Because I'm sure they have to turn in videos constantly just to verify before they stand behind it or actually make it a genuine document. But certainly it was not a real event. So I'm kind of surprised they went ahead and took that and put a negative on it. But then I'm not surprised because it is a way to cast doubt on other videos that have been submitted that they may try to come forward and try to debunk those as well.
It gives professional skeptics like Mick West, who has also been on the Paracast, by the way, grist for his mill, something to debunk.
And debunking is important because I get a lot of videos and photos sent to me for analysis, and most of them I find are, the prosaics. They're somebody's taking a video of a satellite that is flashing because it's rotating and reflecting the sunlight, and they don't have it in focus, and they think it's communicating, and it's nothing more than a satellite. Then we have all the satellite arrangements from the Starlink satellites, and they can be very, you know, striking and impressive, and somebody inexperienced will get the impression that it's something extraterrestrial. But I get a lot of that stuff submitted, and I also expected when COVID broke out that there would be numerous people behind PCs manufacturing fake UFO videos. And I saw numerous fake UFO videos. You could look at them and see shadows were in the wrong place. They did mistakes where they had explosions where the sound was instant and there should have been a time delay given the distance of the explosion. Those kinds of things were readily identified as frauds. So this kind of stuff has to be debunked. But oftentimes what I find is when you have something that has got very substantial provenance and very clear video taken where you know the camera aspect ratio, you know the proportions, and then you hear explanations that are prosaic that couldn't possibly apply. In fact, those prosaic explanations are often more ridiculous than accepting the fact that it's an anomalous object. And I think that where this stems from is you get people who are professional debunkers because that's the role they're playing. If you're getting compensated, whether it's attention or financial reward, you're going to play that role regardless. Or if the subject matter goes against your religious beliefs, then you're going to play that role as debunker. Debunkers also bask in the limelight because their names are mentioned. And so if I was a professional debunker, name was called out. Yeah. You get your name called out every time. You know, every time a video or photo or story comes out and I get my name called out as Mr. Debunker, of course I'm going to debunk it. And I'm going to look for every little detail and offer every plausible explanation for what was recorded because I like having my name called out. Many of the debunkers are using that role as another means of self-promoting. And it's also the same as the people who are taking the content that we have and running with it, saying that, you know, they're here to take our precious metals, or they're here to brainwash us, or they're here to change the world, and oftentimes not having enough of a foundation to substantiate those claims.
Well, the thing here is that people think that people in the UFO field try to make money by promoting bogus claims, and they forget the possibility that people who are professional debunkers are doing it for that particular reason.
Exactly. Exactly. You got to look at where you can play both sides of the fence. And I actually see it on the examination of video data, or, you know, if it's thermal camera data, that you have people who will promote a video without actually examining that video and figuring out that it's actually been frauded, that it's fake, or that it does have a prosaic explanation. It just happens to be the camera was at a certain angle, so the object appeared anomalous. You know, people will run with that, and I've seen debunkers go over videos and they demonstrate that they don't understand physics or understand the parameters of the video. And those are things that I see often. And so I very rarely see anybody doing a proper analytical process on a video to arrive at a proper conclusion. Then it just seems like before they approach, they've already made up their minds. They're going to either prove that it's real or prove that it's not, and not just look at the data and then come to conclusions where you can rule out certain things, but there's certain other aspects that can't be ruled out, but you can't really always give a 100% definitive description on every video as to what the objects can be.
Well, of course, we have the Tic Tac videos, which have not been satisfactorily explained.
And the reason for that is because on the military thermal cameras, and this is the domed cameras that are mounted on aircraft, they don't offer temperature readout, because the design of that camera, it has actually a more simpler germanium lens design. And what that does is it allows the maximum amount of medium wave IR and long wave IR, or infrared. And the purpose of that camera is to make rapid identification of, you know, threat identification. So they don't have passive temperature readouts, which is would have been helpful in that particular video.
Dave Mason, okay. David Altman, Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now, because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The U.S. and South Korea will consider joint military exercises to deter North Korea's nuclear threat. Pyongyang has defended its nuclear program as necessary against what it described as threats from the U.S. It has long described joint military exercises as rehearsals for an invasion, but allies have described the exercises as defense. Both President Biden and South Korean President Moon Jae-in affirmed in remarks at a joint news conference that their shared goal is to complete denuclearization of North Korea. Australia's Labour Party defeated the Conservatives in an election this week for the first time in about a decade. Prime Minister Scott Morrison quickly conceded defeat, citing a need for an Aussie leader to attend a Tokyo summit next week. Prime Minister-elect Anthony Albanese and his party promised more financial assistance and a robust social safety net for the country. This is USA Radio News. A tornado that touched down in northern Michigan killed at least two people and injured more than 40.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer has declared a state of emergency for Otsego County, and one of the top officials saying the town of Gaylord has suffered catastrophic damage. There are reports of structures being demolished, trees toppled, and cars flipped over.
We saw a dumpster lid fly across the parking lot to the point we thought that it was a car hood. And so then we're going, this is getting a little bit stronger than what we would have thought.
Tiffany Pollard from Gaylord. That audio courtesy of Fox 17 in Michigan. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The youngest of 10 black people killed at a Buffalo supermarket in a racist attack will be laid to rest this weekend. 32-year-old Roberta Drury was at the Tops Friendly Market to buy groceries at the time of the shooting. She is being remembered as someone with a big heart and quick with a laugh. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The movie we're going to get to in just a moment here is A Tear in the Sky. And we have David Mason and David Altman, and for the sake of clarity, Mr. Altman will be referred to as David, and David Mason will be referred to as Dave. Dave, let's continue where we left off in the last segment.
Okay. So the military cameras mounted on crafts are meant to make rapid threat identification and then vetting angles and vetting positions so that a rapid reaction can be deployed on it. The difference between those cameras and, say, the industrial grade that have passive temperature measurement is that the industrial grade have extra lens elements to create a band pass of wavelength and then be able to do calculation based on, you know, a microbolometer response to certain wavelengths. That will give you temperature data. But what I find that what is being debunked on, say, like the Tic Tac, is they don't really give any real common frame of reference for that debunking. And one debunking aspect I've seen is the claim that it is some sort of a lens flare. Now, understand, I own several thermal imaging cameras, industrial grade. I brought eight of them to our expedition when where the movie was filmed. They're $50,000 cameras. And I've taken those cameras and trying to create the lens flare theory using the sun, which is actually not good to aim one into the sun, but could not replicate a sun flare. You could replicate, say, if you were to have a dirty lens, a lot of condensation, you could get image smearing, but you wouldn't create ghosts from that. So that's one of the things that I've seen is being offered. And clearly to me, it is being stated by somebody who has not done any research in thermography, nor have they ever, probably never owned a thermal camera.
So then what kind of tools do we need to record UFOs? I mean, these military planes are there to look for threats. They're not looking to get the ins and outs of things that might be beyond what you normally expect to see.
Well, what I like about the industrial grade is the temperatures that are made available. You can do passive temperature measurements of objects. In fact, you could measure their temperatures below freezing point. My cameras will range down to below minus 80 Fahrenheit, which is pretty cold. That's about minus 62 Celsius. I've recorded over the years since 2005 when I stumbled on this accidentally, many anomalous shaped objects that are rectangular, triangular, boomerang, trifoil, things that are cylindrical, things that measure very cold. They're picked up on long wave infrared thermal cameras. And you can, if you get passive temperature measurements and you measure objects as being very cold, then that separates it from the, you know, conventional aircraft that are often measuring very hot. And even if you take a commercial jet that's up at 35,000 feet elevation, and maybe the ambient temperature at that elevation is maybe minus 30 or minus 40 Fahrenheit, depending where you are. The energy from the Earth's crust, so this is the ground-based energy, will be reflected back downward from that aircraft to the thermal camera that's measuring it. So you'll get a much hotter temperature. And every time I've measured higher altitude jets, they always measure very hot relative to the background. And so this is where I'm able to make a determination that we have a phenomenon where many of the aerial objects are below freezing temperatures. And also, I find objects that are invisible. In fact, my very first experience was I was taking a $70,000 thermal imaging camera that I was using in my test lab. I took it home for the purpose of recording passer or commercial jets flying overhead. I thought, oh, that should look cool. And I was panning the camera around, and two very large cold objects appeared within the camera view. And I looked straight up, and I didn't see a thing. And I tracked it. I recorded it. They measured minus 30 Fahrenheit. And that was the event that triggered my interest. And then later, using multiple cameras, I would record an object transitioning across two different cameras. And then I could look with my PDS-7D Gen 3 Plus night vision and not see them. But they were picked up on two separate FLIR cameras. And the difference is I was imaging objects that were visible in the FLIR at 13,000 to 14,000 nanometers, while with the Gen 3 night vision, I'm only seeing down to 1,000 to 1,100 nanometers. So separate wavelengths is what would differentiate them. So what these things are, I don't know, but I know what they're not. And that's the only conclusion I can come up with.
Let's talk about backgrounds so folks know what you've done, and then we can get into the film. Dave Mason, what's your background in studying this field?
In studying the UFO field? Well, that goes back to when I was 13, I was researching UFO documents, checking them out at the library. This was way, way before the internet existed. And I was studying the phenomenon, and the things that really intrigued me was the fact that there were reports of these objects creating magnetic disturbances, compasses moving crazy, and in effect, the other things, that they had lights that were pulsating. And pulsing lights, it to me, indicates there's some form of communication or attentive communication. I don't believe that they use lights to see where they're going or that it's a byproduct of their propulsion systems. And so as a kid, the first thing I tried to do to address this thing was I built a magnetic field detector using a compass and using a phototransistor and an LED. What this would do is if there was a deviation from magnetic north to create a compass to spin, it would set off an alarm, a sonic alarm, so that you know that, hey, there's a UFO, go outside and see what's going on. So I did that at age 13. And then when I was 17, I built a pair of photodiode binoculars where I installed a photodiode and built in a low noise JFET circuit, so that we could listen to aerial objects that emitted light. An example, I can listen to aircraft in daytime. I can hear the light reflecting off the wings. You can actually hear the wind and the engine vibration, and as well as the light, the auxiliary lights. And you can also listen to starlight. So you can point at stars and hear the scintillation of the stars. what you'd call the sparkles that you see. And the object with that is to be able to listen to aerial objects and identify whether or not they are transmitting some sort of data. The other thing that can be related to it is I can take that information and transmit it back to the source. So I can take the binoculars, and if I have a object and it's transmitting some kind of data, I can relay back with an internal defocused laser, and the laser is modulated in intensity by what's received by the binoculars. So if an object's in the sky and it's transmitting, I can beam it right back at them through a defocused laser and hopefully provoke some sort of response.
Have any of these inventions produced a positive result?
I believe so. There was a time I was broadcasting on, this was on my smaller light wave transmitter. This wasn't used in the movie. What's in the movie is this three-way transmitter. It's a bigger, much bigger scale. And I had consulted with an expert that knows about whales and dolphins. And I asked, I need some audio recordings of whales and dolphins that are happy. That are out in the wild and they're celebrating. I don't want recordings of somebody in a storage tank or a depressed whale or dolphin. So I obtained these recordings and I broadcast them on my lightwave transmitter. And this was back in 2019. And I had two thermal cameras running. And when I came back to examine the videos, I recorded an object that appeared to be it did look like a Tic Tac, and it was moving at about a 45 or 25 degree angle with respect to its trajectory. So it was sideways as it zipped across the screen.
We have David, Dave, Tim, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Dave Mason, tell us more about the particular event that you were referring to in the previous segment.
Okay. So I was transmitting the recorded sounds on the light wave transmitters of whales and dolphins in their mood. And I recorded on the thermal camera a thing that was tic tac shaped, but when it moved across the sky, it was not moving in minimal air friction, you know, minimal aeronautics friction. It was tilted at about a 25 degree angle, moved across. And I think it was about a half hour later, I had a cold orb object also transition across the field of view. So that was what was copied and when I was transmitting those sounds. I don't know whether or not that was just a coincidence or if there was actual relaying of response on that thing. But definitely, I think that because by transmitting broad spectrum or spread spectrum light, you can get a response because everything else we're transmitting in light is just in the form of 60 cycles from street lights and house lights or pulses that are coming off of LED automobiles, that it would stand out amongst the noise and possibly provoke a response. And if you think about that, many of the NASA videos that have been recorded in outer space from the International Space Station or the Space Shuttle, there's numerous videos of objects with light that are pulsing. Now that visual pulse that you see on the cameras could be asynchronous to the object. The object should be pulsing at a very high frequency, but it's asynchronous to the camera frame rate. Kind of like if you've ever taken your iPhone and tried to videotape a computer screen and you'll see that it's chopped or it has these funny lines to it. I'm certain that there has to be information, and it's our job to be able to establish that contact and then try to interpret that data, which I think that's going to be really virtually impossible for us because whatever they're transmitting is going to go over our heads. So the best thing we can do is just take that transmitted data and send it back to them to let them know we're trying.
Tim.
Oh, I want to hear what about David Altman. How did you get involved in all this, David?
My story's pretty similar to Dave Mason's, minus the inventive genius on it. I too did the library round when I was about 7 or 8 years old. My parents were divorced, or had just gotten divorced, and my mom and I had gone to live with my grandmother, who was a librarian. So after school, I would go directly to her library where she worked, and she'd point me in the direction of where the old books were on all the universal monsters like the Wolfman and Frankenstein and Dracula. And after tearing through all those books, of course, right next to them in the next aisle were all the paranormal and UFO books. And it's all uphill from there.
So, and, you know, both of you can answer this question. How did you get involved with A Tear in the Sky?
I guess I can take that one first. So I became a member of UAPX a couple of years ago. UAPX is the team from the movie that was founded by Kevin Day, who was one of the first witnesses to come forward from the Nimitz encounter. The group contained at that time, Kevin Day, Gary Voorhees, and Jason Turner from the Nimitz encounter. It also had a few scientists and a tech guru named David Mason. I had met Kevin Day originally. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Project Blue Book, but David O'Leary is a friend of mine, and him and I went to Vegas to a conference for a UFO MegaCon, and that's where I met Kevin Day. Him and I hit it off, and he asked me to join UAPX, and he asked me to be a researcher and also handle their media. They were getting a lot of media requests, especially after the New York Times article. And I have a background. I work in television. I do consultant and development work, mostly on all the UFO shows that are on TV. I've worked on all the series. Not all of them, but I mean, you know, anything pretty much new or that might be a special segment. Example, I worked on the J.J. Abrams series. I've worked on shows like Expedition X. You know, different shows like that. So through my job, I met a gentleman named Ben Hansen, who I'm sure you guys have probably heard of, and Caroline Corey, who is the director and producer of the movie, had contacted Ben Hansen and said to him, "Hey, I'm thinking about doing a new UFO movie. What do you think I should do it on, or what would you suggest?" And Ben pointed her in my direction. And the rest is history. That's pretty much how it happened. When I did join, David Mason was already a member as well. And just a side note, I'm no longer with UAPX. I'm kind of doing my own thing. But you know, those guys are still plugging away.
So Dave Mason, I mean the. In the film, I mean, you bring in an impressive amount of equipment. I mean, did the producers come to you and say, you know, we want to do, you know, such and such? What would you recommend that we use?
Yeah, they were surprised. So the producers weren't expecting that I had all this gear. And so this, to put it into perspective, everything you see on the rooftops, on the mansion or in the rooftops of Catalina Island was my equipment. So I brought the 8 FLIR thermal cameras, all the inventions, all the night vision, all the big binoculars, the handheld binoculars. There was one exception. There was a, camera system called the UFO DAP on a tripod. And this was the camera that was mounted on the rooftop at a spot where it has a dome and an antenna projecting. That was purchased by Carolyn Corey, and that's owned by Carolyn Corey.
Just a side note on that real quick before I forget. I'd like to thank Christopher O'Brien for taking care of us when we looked into that UFO DAP. Without him, wouldn't have had it.
By the way, Christopher O'Brien, as you probably know, was a former co-host of the show.
That's exactly why I had to mention it.
Okay, cool. Okay.
We're always happy to hear about Chris.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, we had to submit our information, and then when I was going to ship some equipment down to the filming site, I made up a list of all the equipment I was going to be bringing, and it took me a full day just to do inventory. and send that over to Carolyn. And she realized that, you know, we had a tremendous amount of equipment. She was very excited and said that we're going to go with red cameras, high resolution cameras. And she really stepped up the game on what we were going to do because she didn't realize what I was going to be bringing to the table. And, there was a large cargo van was rented, and it was driven down about 1,300 miles. All of my equipment from my business location, from my loading dock to the site. And so it was quite an undertaking. I was nervous because I thought, what if stuff gets broken or stolen? But everything arrived undamaged, and everything from my FLIR cameras to the other equipment, everything worked, and my invention survived the ordeal.
By the way, for those who haven't heard of red cameras, they are professional digital cameras. They are uber expensive.
Oh, they are. they're very expensive and very high performance.
So very likely some of the movies you've seen are filmed with red cameras.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And usually that's like your very expensive productions. They go with the red cameras because there really isn't anything above that.
These are the ones that do 8K.
They're capable of 8K. You got it.
Now, I'm going to ask you in our next segment, if I was writing the listing for Tear in the Sky for TV Guide, and I want to have like a couple of pithy paragraphs, not to spit on the mic here, a couple of pithy paragraphs on the film in our next segment, maybe tell us what would be in that description so we have a better understanding of what we're going to expect. We have Dave Altman. He's one of the people connected with the film. Dave Mason, our special guest co-host, the one, the only Tim Swartz, who's ever present, always around. By the way, the team of guests will be returning in after the PowerCast for PowerCast Plus listeners. It means you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire PowerCast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the PowerCast. After the PowerCast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the PowerCast Plus. With After the PowerCast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the PowerCast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with PowerCast guests. With PowerCast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the PowerCast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about PowerCast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.